excited about jumping into a new series today. We'll spend the month of September in Essential. Amen. Talking about Essential. Week one of a new series is always a bit of a wrestling match for me. If you are coming regularly, if you're tuning in regularly, if you've been investing in the Word the last couple of years with Pastor Darrell, then you know week one I'm always wrestling a subject and just kind of getting so many thoughts out, and then I'm going to come back in following weeks and narrow things down, get really specific with some things, get really practical with some things. But this series has been in my spirit for the last few months, because essential is one of those pandemic words. We've talked about some of the pandemic terminology that we're hearing a lot of in this season, the last few months. One of those words that just kind of came to the forefront in this pandemic season was the word pivot. Everyone was telling us, man, you just have to pivot. Our bosses at work were saying, we have to pivot. We've got to shift. We've got to look at this a different way. And then, of course, there is the new normal. We talked about that a few weeks ago. I'm not really excited about new normal. I'm not on board with that terminology personally. But then there was this word essential. And so much fuss over the word essential, because we've argued over who is essential and who is not essential, what is essential and what is not essential. We have essential workers, we have essential businesses, we have a lot of these things going on, and it's created this bit of tension in society, because some people are not wanting to be out at work, but yet they've been deemed essential, and it's just a fascinating thought. And when you begin to look at these things spiritually, the word essential is actually very, very important. What does that mean for you and I? What does that speak to you and I? What essentials are you and I supposed to be grabbing onto? Some of my thoughts were best communicated in an old hymn that I've been singing around the office this week that just said, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know what? Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I see the young people scratching your head. Is that Hillsong? Is that Elevation? Nope, nope, nope. That's like, I don't know, Fanny Crosby or somebody long time ago, way old. What's the point? The point is, this world is not my home. Whether that is a news flash for you, or whether that is a breaking alert, or even a reality check in your life, this world is not our home. And I believe that COVID is forcing us, some of us kicking and screaming, but forcing us to determine what is essential in our lives. Like, what really matters? What is really important? What are my values? I want you to know today that essentials are essential. what I'm teaching today. Essentials are essential. And I believe we can spend the next few weeks discovering and committing to and rededicating to and even allowing God to reveal to us what our essentials should be. 1 Peter chapter 1, let me read a few verses there. It'll be on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you or a digital option to follow the word in. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 13, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. I know we don't like that word fear. It really probably best reads respect. Live in respect of Him, in awe of Him. Don't treat Him casual. Don't treat Him as just an option in your life, but fear Him, respect Him, be in awe of Him during your time here as temporary residents. I love that, temporary residence. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But hear me, our greatest obstacle to following Jesus fully, and fully is not defined as, well, I go to church once a month, or I watch online occasionally. I'm talking about following Jesus fully to the point that I am trying to live according to His word. I'm trying to walk according to His principles and His laws and my life in alignment and in agreement with the things of the Spirit. But the thing that challenges us from following Jesus fully is our desire to fit in, our desire to be in the world as well. But I know we've all felt it. It's not a judgment thing. I'm not preaching at you today because we've all struggled with this at different times in our lives. But let me say very plainly today that we were not created to fit in. We were not created to think like the world thinks. We were called to stand out. God never asked us to blend in. He wanted us to be set apart. He wanted us to be different. And I know that seems odd. It is countercultural to the blend in group think mentality of today. But let me tell you what is normal today. You want to know what normal is today? Normal is broke. Normal is hurting. Normal is stressed. Normal is divorced. Normal is afraid. Normal is anxious. Look at somebody and ask them, why be normal? I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be any of that. I want to be healed. I want to be whole. I want to be married. I want to be at peace. I don't want to think like the world thinks or live like the world lives. And I realize there's probably people checking out. Our views are probably dropping off because people get real nervous because, oh no, he's about to clothesline preach or about to get legalistic. That's what the world has told us to think and to how to respond to teaching like this. But hear me, stay with me for just a moment, because essentials are essential. You have to have some values established in your life. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." I'm reading today from the NIV. That is the kinder, gentler version of Jesus' words. The King James says that that wide gate and that broad road leads to hell. Not having essentials in your life, not having boundaries in your life, not having parameters in your life, it will lead you to destruction. Because the things that are essential to me matter to my eternity. You say, "But they're doing it. I saw someone else doing it." Yes, many are on that road. That's why it is a wide road. That's why it is a big gate, because there are many that think that way, many that live that way, many that operate that way. But Jesus said, narrow. Got to get on the narrow that not everyone is traveling, that get over in that train of thought that not everyone is thinking, because you have some values in your life, some essentials that have been established in your life. So the question is, how did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get to the place that we are in? Let's do the diagnosis today. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is not for the faint of heart. I don't suggest you study Romans 1 unless you are really, really serious about living for God, because it will challenge you. But Romans chapter 1, just a few verses, keeping it easy, light, and careful today. He said, "Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired." This is not my words. These are the words of the Lord. "As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen." He said they refused to worship the glorious, ever-living God. Instead, they worship idols. They worship people. They worship celebrities. They just picked some object in the air, birds, whatever. They just worship anything. And so God said, "I had no choice but to abandon them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies." I don't know if you're watching your news. I know there's a pandemic going on, but one of the states in our beautiful, wonderful country just enacted law that it's all right to have sexual relations with someone 10 years younger than you, even if that person is a minor, and you will not be labeled as a sex offender. Is anybody watching your news? Anybody paying attention the last 10 or 12 days that 39 children in the state of Georgia were found, recovered, rescued out of sex trafficking, out of various sad situations? And it's almost like a domino effect. Almost every day there are a dozen children in this state, five children in this state. Things are happening. Things are happening. Be aware, be sober, be vigilant. Pay attention to what is going on around you, because a world is being judged because we do not have our essentials established in our lives. So I think it's important for us to diagnose the problem rather than to continue to treat symptoms. And somebody would say, well, tell the president. I don't have his phone number. Tell Joe Biden. I don't have his email address. Tell Pelosi. She's getting her hair done. Sorry, bad pastor. I can't get to any of those people. So all I'm left to do is talk to you and I, the church, people who are supposed to be thinking differently than the world thinks. People that are supposed to be living set apart, holy, differently than everyone else is living. I want all of our students, all of our young people to hear me, all of our kids in the room. I realize that we haven't been having church kids. Lord willing, we're going to be having church kids next Sunday. If you're online, if you're in the room, Lord willing, we're going to be relaunching church kids. Watch our social media. We'll be announcing that this week, but we are ramping up, staffing up, trying to prepare to relaunch church kids safely, securely, all of those things. I know our kids have been in the room with us for a few weeks, and you've been watching online, and I know you don't understand everything that I'm saying. I know some of this is over your head. Some of our students, you're so attentive, and I hear you, and I'm so appreciative that you're leaning into the Word of God. And sometimes this teaching is not real exciting, but hear me, what I'm teaching today is going to help you have a good marriage someday. Going to help you raise kids someday. Ooh, gross. Yes, please think it's as gross as long as you possibly can. But hear me. It's going to build your life. It's going to build your life. And if we will lean into this and realize that as the church, I'm not called to live or to establish my life the way the celebrity singer is establishing their life, or the way that Hollywood is establishing their life. I'm going to tell you, as good as their Instagram feed looks, I promise you, there is more pain than you know anything about behind their filtered, perfectly made up, perfectly styled outfit. There is pain and sadness and brokenness you want nothing to do with. So how do we get here? You ever get lost on a map? We're all about maps on our phone now, and believe me, I'm new to Georgia. Still feels like I was on roads yesterday that I've never been on before, and so I'm following a map, and sometimes, you know, the maps, they seem a little late, and you get out in these country roads under these trees, and it seems like the signal doesn't, you know, stay quite caught up, and I'll realize I should have forked off to the right and I stayed straight. And sometimes I just have to pull over and allow the map to catch up, and really I just need to figure out where I went wrong. Sometimes I gotta back out of the map. I've gotta see it from a higher vantage point, because I've gotta see where I went wrong. I wanna understand how I took the wrong turn. I wanna know. My wife and I are very different. She will drive like 45 minutes out of the way. Just the map took me. No, I can't do that. I've got to hit reverse. I've got to back up. I've got to stop. I've got to turn around. Even if it tells me that if I keep going down this road, eventually I'm going to be able to get back on track. It may be 2 miles out of my way. It may add 5 minutes to my trip. Daryl's brain does not think like that. I can't do that. I have to U-turn somewhere. I have to go back and do it the way the map told me I was supposed to do it. I'm probably the odd one and the weird one, but I think when it comes to the subject of essentials, we've got to figure out where we went wrong so that we can go back and reverse and recover and renew. So let me talk to you about some enemies of the essential. Enemies of the essential. If you want to take notes or type these into your phone, I think they will be of value to you in your quiet time this week. Number one, we gave up on God's wisdom and settled for the world's ways. One of the enemies to the essential, one of the things that is compromising essentials in our lives, is the fact that we gave up on the world's wisdom and settled for the world, gave up on God's wisdom and settled for the world's ways. And this can and really should be applied to everywhere and to everyone, from the White House to the outhouse to our house. Everyone needs to look at this. But here's the challenge: because we compare ourselves to the worst, then we always have someone else to blame. As long as someone is out there killing, as long as someone is out there looting, as long as someone is somewhere acting a fool, then we don't have to look in the mirror, because we've always have someone that's worse than us, and we're able to compare ourselves and say, no, I'm good. Romans 12 and 2 helped us with that. He said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. It's one of the enemies to the essential. We gave up on God's wisdom and settled for the world's ways. Here's the second enemy to the essential. We followed our feelings instead of our faith. We followed our feelings instead of our faith. I've said it many times. We'll continue to say it and teach it. Choices lead, feelings follow. Instead, we've reversed that. We're in our feelings and then make choices accordingly. We feel really strongly about something, and then we determine what we're going to do based on our feelings. But what happens when our feelings inform our essentials instead of truth? They become skewed. They become messed up. They're challenged. Romans 8 and 6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I don't want to follow my feelings instead of my faith. If I keep my faith grounded, if I establish my faith, then my feelings have to come into alignment with my faith. I make right choices, and the feelings about those choices follow rather than the other way around. Here's the third enemy of the essential in our lives. We trusted ourselves more than we trusted God. We trusted ourselves more than we trusted God. I've pulled over on the side of the road. I'm looking at the map. I'm trying to figure out where I went wrong in my life. Where did I go wrong? What did I do that got me in this position? I trusted myself more than I trusted God. Here's the reality. I am not God. I'm not God. You are not God. We need to confess that about ourselves until we believe it. We need to say that every day until we really believe. Say that until we stop arguing with the word of the Lord. Say that until we stop making up the rules as we go along. Why? Because my heart is deceitful, and I will lie to myself faster than I'll lie to you. I am not God. I am His child. I am His son. You are His daughter. We belong to Him, but we are not Him. So we can't rely on, depend on, our own thinking, our own emotion to lead us anywhere that is spiritually beneficial. We have to get in His Word and we have to trust Him. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 is still so good for our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Essentials are essential. Establishing values and boundaries and parameters in our lives. So those are enemies. Those are enemies of the essential. Let me give you some allies. Let me give you some friends, some allies of the essential. The first one is authentic faith. If you need help establishing essentials in your life, if you need help determining values in your life, what really matters, what really will work, what will bring spiritual success to you, you need to make sure that you have authentic faith. What is authentic faith? I'm talking about real faith. Go to church faith. Read your word faith. Pray faith. Not this popular spirituality that says, well, you know, I'm connected to, or I'm a member of, or, you know, I'm here or I'm there. This kind of popular spirituality that claims to have a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. I want the power. I don't want just the form. I want the power of God. I want authentic faith in my life. Proverbs 14:26, reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. Or Joshua 24:15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You have to have authentic faith, real faith. Next, another ally of the essential in your life is intentional schedules. Intentional schedules. You have authentic faith as an ally. You have intentional schedules as an ally. What does that mean? That means we have this time set aside. Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. During the week for a small group or prayer on a Tuesday. We have time set aside and we don't allow anything to compromise the intentionality that established this schedule. Sometimes it feels like, I'm not talking maybe about it here, but it just feels like sometimes we, hey, you got anything this weekend? What? Kids, you got something? Anybody got a game? Somebody, lots of homework, overtime? Hey, anything? Do we don't have anything going on? Really? All right, I guess we got to go to church. All right, I guess we don't have a choice. We better go to church then. I mean, you sure? You sure? Check your email again. It seems like we're trying to plug anything and everything in instead of the opposite that says, what? You got a game? But we have church. What? You have homework? Listen, we have church. What? They want you to work over, but we have church. I'm not so legalistic that you think, well, we can't ever miss church. No. It's not that. If you've attended here any amount of time, you know that's not our heart. But hear me. Church is not plan B for me. Church is not some other option for me. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be connected to the Word of God. I refuse to allow everything and anything and stuff that is so inconsequential to interrupt my faith. I have intentional schedules that say this is where I'm going to be, and there are very good reasons for why I'm going to be there. I need what church does in my life. Need it. I need it. Let me give you some word. Psalm 39 and 6, we are merely moving shadows. And all our busy rushing ends in nothing. That means all that frantic running chaos in my life, when I get to the end of the week and I add all of that up, I really didn't accomplish a lot. But when I put God first, when I make Him the priority of my schedule, when I choose to be in His house, to be connected online, when I set this time aside and say, you know what, nothing is going to get me from this right here, man, it makes all the difference in my life. Ecclesiastes 4 and 6, it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. Intentional schedules. Here's another ally of the essential. It's discover purpose, discovering our purpose. This is a part of our Discover Church. We've had a few months off of Discover Church. I'm excited that we're coming back the second Sunday in October. We're going to be having Discover Church both in person and online. So if you're new to the church, Covington, if you're new here the last few months, if you're new online, you want to learn more, know more about the church, Covington, you can get signed up. There's a banner right here in the room. You can sign up back there. Second Sunday of the month, every month. That's kicking off again in October. One of the things that we will talk to you about is discovering your purpose. One of the allies of the essential in my life, living with intentionality, living with essentials in mind, is knowing what my purpose is. Acts 20 and verse 24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. Ephesians 4, 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Realize that you have a purpose. Every day that you believe that you are worth nothing, that your life does not count. Every day that you believe that your life makes no difference is a day the devil is winning in your mind and in your heart. But if you discover, wait a minute, I have a purpose. There's a reason I still have breath in my body and strength in my feet. God has called me to do something. God has called me to serve somewhere. God has called me to be who He has designed me to be. I'm discovering my purpose, and it is going to help me establish essentials in my life. Because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. But if you give your mind purpose to focus on, guess what? The devil has no time to build anything in your life. Man, this is good teaching. Wasn't even trying to get any applause, but that sounds good too. I said the other day, Pastor Darrell, that was good preaching. I said, I don't know any other way to do it. I was raised on very, very strong word, and it was very there was no fluff. Let me just say that. There was no little cute stories that came in to make you feel. It was just word, and there were hundreds of people that filled up that auditorium, and people were there early and stayed late. They wanted that word. I crave that again. I crave a community. I crave a church, a congregation, a people that say, we want our lives to be built on this. We want our lives to be built on this. I don't want to know the lyrics to the latest Cardi B song, and don't go look that up. I don't want to know the lyrics to the latest this or that. I want to know the word of God, because that is what will count for all of eternity. That's too old-fashioned for some. I get it. That's too down the line for some. I understand that. But all I know to do is what God asked us to do, and that was to rightly divide the word. And that means sometimes the word is not going to agree with my life. My life is not going to align with the word, and I'm going to have to make a decision. Either I'm going to come into agreement with the word, or Romans 1 said I would be abandoned. Pastor Dill, are you that's what he said. When? How long do I got? I don't know. But why would you even take the risk? Essentials are essential. Let me give you another ally to the essential is right relationships. This is an ally. Get in right relationships. Being connected to the right people will help you stay on track spiritually. I'm not saying don't be friends with people who are unbelievers. The Bible said do not be yoked with unbelievers. I'm not saying don't be friends. I have a wide range of friends, real wide range of friends. All kind of contexts in this phone. People that I could text right now, call right now. People that don't believe in God. People that live complete different, lifestyle. I have friends with all kinds of people. But when it comes to me establishing essentials in my life, people who argue with, disagree with, live opposite to the Word of God, that's not where my deepest communication is going to be spent. No, I need right relationships. I want to get around people that share the same values that I do. Well, Pastor Darrell, how are we ever going to win people if the only ones we ever hang out with are saved people? I know you're more mature than that. You know I'm more mature than that. Lunch with people, dinner with people, live next door to people, work with people, school with people, carpool with people, play ball with people, little league with people. But you be the light. You be the leader. You determine the tone of the conversation. You need right relationships. And if you're struggling to live essentials in your life, then you may need to check your relationships. Proverbs 27:19, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I need right relationships. It's an ally of the essential. Finally, the last ally of the essential is amazing grace. You need God's amazing grace in your life. Why? Because as long as I live in this flesh, I'm going to stumble, trip, fall. I hadn't even told my family this. Our dogs were getting some fencing established, and our dogs are coming to live with us again. I'm not real happy about it, but seems they're essential. But we have these wood tread stairs, and the first couple of times up and down the stairs, they were very slow. because their feet were slipping, paws were slipping, and so everyone was gone. I was upstairs and heading downstairs, and so I said, "Come on, boys, let's go." And so Scar, who was the alpha, started down the stairs first, and Simba turned to make sure I was coming down the stairs too, and when he turned, his hip bumped Scar's little behind, and it sent Scar spinning. I wish I had the video on because it was hilarious. His front feet were working great, but them back legs just kept slipping and slipping, and before long, he was trying to do this to go back up, but he was just rolling and tumbling, and didn't matter that he had done it 50 times before. It didn't matter that he had been careful to learn how the steps work. Something happened that got him off balance. Life happened, and it knocked him for a loop. You may go to church every Sunday, but life will still happen. You may worship with all of your heart, but life will still happen. And before you know it, you're trying to find your footing again. You're trying to find your balance again. And that's why an ally of the essential is Amazing Grace. Because the Bible says he doesn't laugh at our calamity. He doesn't laugh when we stumble. He sends help. He sends word. He has grace to say, "Ah, man, you didn't have a great week. Come on, let's help you up. Let's get your footing reestablished. Let's get you reset." And you may be in this room today and you need a reset in your life. You may be online today and you need a reset in your life. "Pastor Darrell, this is what I believe. This is the kind of preaching I need to hear. I'm just not living it right now. I know it's right. I'm just struggling with it." You may be nodding your head in the room you're watching in right now. You may be agreeing in this room today. Let me encourage you. Let me invite you. Let me challenge you if you need that. Let me double dog dare you if that's what it takes to go on this journey with us the next few weeks. This journey of establishing what is essential in my life. Let's determine what is essential. Without question. Without controversy, the Word of God is essential in my life, and that is the standard for my life. And we're in the Word. So if you're here today, if you're online today, and it's time to get back to the essential. It's time to get back to the boundaries. It's time to get some things reestablished in your life. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I believe that you saying yes to Jesus today, it can make the difference in your life. Anybody want to pray with me today? You may be online right now. You may be new. You may be watching for the first time in a long time. Or maybe you just know this word is speaking to you. Pray with me. Say, "Jesus, I want you to build my life. Build my life on what is holy, what is pure, what is lovely, what is right. Establish my essentials. Establish, make clear, Lord, path that you want me to walk, the way that you want me to go. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of every wicked way. Change my life. Clean my life. forgive my life. Today I accept your grace. I accept your mercy. I've received your gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Can we just give God praise today?